en discuter Alastair Stewart, qui est consultant en affaires publiques et columniste, entre autres, à l'Edinburgh Evening News et au Scotsman. Et il a accepté notre invitation et nous sommes en duplex avec Edinburgh. Alors, Alastair, good morning and thank you very much to be with us.
Good morning. How are you doing? Thank you for having me on.
Cool. Great. So, Alastair, first and foremost, as Scottish yourself or member of United Kingdom, what do you think about that famous Indy Rift 2? We heard it since 9 years, since the last one, and specifically since the Brexit. Finally, it will happen. What do you think about that? What is your expectation?
My expectation is I don't think it will go ahead. Nicola Sturgeon, the First Minister of Scotland, has essentially decided that next year will be the date that Scotland will have an independence referendum. It's not one that has been legally agreed yet between Westminster and Holyrood. And I don't think it's going to go ahead for two reasons. One, there is no real political appetite at the moment for Westminster to deliver the power to Holyrood to hold one. But also, Scotland and the rest of the UK, and indeed the rest of Europe and the world, are facing a series of unprecedented crises. And I think most people, as reflected in the result in 2014, realise that complex issues require complex solutions that cannot just be answered with a yes, no, on a ballot paper on Scotland's constitutional future. Indeed, if there's a chicken and the egg complexity with Scottish independence at the moment, because a lot of yes supporters, that is to say people in favour of Scottish independence, point to Brexit and say that Brexit is the reason that Scotland should leave the United Kingdom. But most voters will now realise that after 5-6 years of dealing with the consequences of the Brexit referendum and what that means for Britain, they know that a simple yes, no vote is only the very, very, very beginning of a difficult, hard road ahead. And even if the merits of Scottish independence can be debated cordially and if they can be weighed up, no one would want to set Scotland on a path to economic difficulty at a time when economic difficulty is the normal fact of life.
Hmm. Let's talk about that economic problem in UK. I used to read British newspaper, and we talk about the cost of living, which increase more than in the rest of Europe. What happened exactly?
I think you've got a situation where the effects of Brexit are being acutely felt, as well as at a time when the impact of Russia's aggression, Russia's war against Ukraine is being felt as well. You also have a situation as well where at the end of the last decade, you've got a government at Westminster, the Conservative Party, that have now been in power for so long that they're out of fresh and innovative ideas to tackle the current issue. And that cannot be better exemplified than what's happened with Boris Johnson, the current Prime Minister, until next week, in fact. And there's no appetite to tackle these crises. They are, as a result, getting worse. You've got things like the energy price cap that is being that is increasing quarterly now. You've got a situation where there's mass difficulties socially, and there's no drive, excitement, there's no head-on want to address these things, and that's what happens when you have stagnant governments, unfortunately. I would say as well that that would apply to Boris Johnson's successor, whether that be Rishi Sunak or Liz Truss, the current contenders. They don't seem to have the kind of real-world, on-the-ground scope and innovation to tackle these problems. So as a result, you have different threads which are being tightly pulled together at the moment, both homemade but also globally happening to everyone. And it's compounding for a very difficult set of circumstances in the UK.
Let's talk about the relationship in between Westminster and Edinburgh. Do you think that it's possible to find an agreement in between both capitals? Because despite everything, Nicola Sturgeon wants to and promised that she will do a referendum. But if is it Rishi Sunak or Liz Truss, do you think after Boris Johnson era, the relationship will be good in between both leaders?
Start by saying that this situation has happened before. 2012, the Edinburgh Agreement was put in place between David Cameron's government at Westminster and the former First Minister of Scotland, Alex Salmond. The Edinburgh Agreement put in place the arrangements to transfer powers, legally transfer powers to Holyrood to hold the referendum, and that's what led to the referendum of 2014. I think you have a situation where there is a moral mandate for the Scottish National Party that they keep getting massive majorities at local, national elections, and we are going round and like a dog chasing its tail. But the SNP do have a moral mandate to hold a referendum. Detractors and critics would say they are winning referendums, but they can't hold votes on things or the promise of votes on things that they have no remit over, because referenda are in the purview of Westminster. The current situation is made worse by leadership candidates saying absolutely not, and that we will not be holding a referendum. It's leading to a lot of acrimony. My hope, my optimism, is that that can be resolved with a referendum at some point. I think that there is a moral mandate for the SNP. I think that that needs to be recognised, but there is a question of timing and there's a question of a constitutional future. Scotland has the Supreme Court, and currently Nicola Sturgeon's referendum proposals are going through there, but that's very much a call my bluff game because she doesn't have that power. Anyway, as a result, we have this ongoing question, how do you have a system in place going forward where Scotland gets a majority party that promises a referendum? How do you get that, if not by granted by Westminster? And that's not fair. Something needs to change. So my interest and my optimism is less about there being a referendum, even if there is one. I do believe it would be no. But my curiosity is, how do you break this deadlock? We can't go every 8 years, as you mentioned, getting into this he said, she said argument about when we get one. It should be a simple matter. If someone calls for one and there is a majority, we need to establish a mechanism. And by that mechanism, I think there will be a more peaceable and long-lasting and less acrimonious relationship again between Holyrood and Westminster.
Mm-hmm. Finally, Alistair Stewart, 2 years after the Brexit, 2 years after the division in between European Union and UK, how do you feel and how do you qualify the relationship in between UK and European Union? Do you think relationships are good despite everything?
I think the relationships are struggling at the moment, and the constitutional issues are a distraction. Historically, since the Scottish Parliament was established, relationships have actually been pretty good, whatever the party was in power. At the moment, this obsession on all sides with this tennis, constitutional tennis game, is distracting from policy areas that really, really need a focus, particularly now. If both sides can agree a mechanism by which a referendum is arranged, where the circumstances are arranged as part of a process rather than as a tennis match, I think there will be much more likelihood of cooperation, deeper cooperation going forward that ultimately benefits the people of Scotland and benefits the people of the United Kingdom.
So, Alistair Stewart, live from Edinburgh, thank you very much for that interview.
Thank you.
Thank you. L'histoire jugera des élections dans le monde. Qui a voté, qui vote, qui votera, pour qui et surtout pourquoi? Eh bien, l'histoire jugera. 102.3 FM. On s'intéresse ce matin à la question de l'élargissement de l'Union européenne. On le sait, il y a plusieurs pays candidats qui voudraient joindre le groupe des 27 et donc monter à 28, 29, 30. Et pour en parler, nous sommes en duplex avec Bruxelles, avec le député européen Witold Jan Wrzeszkowski. Il est polonais, membre du groupe conservateur et réformiste européen. Et nous sommes en duplex avec Bruxelles. Il a accepté notre invitation. Alors, Witold Jan, thank you very much to be with us, and it's a great pleasure.
Thank you for inviting me. It's a great pleasure to be with you, François.
Fine. So, first and foremost, we will talk about enlargement, specifically because you are chair of delegation of the EU-Ukraine Parliamentary Association Committee. And a few months ago, officially, Ukraine became a candidate to be member of European Union. What do you think about that? It is possible that Ukraine became become the 28th country of European Union?
Well, brief answer, yes, it is possible, but maybe not tomorrow. This will be a longer period of time to prepare Ukraine to pacify situation on the Ukrainian borders, of course, and to convince the members of the European Union to accept Ukraine. There are some other problems also, which are mentioned recently by politicians like Chancellor Scholz, because they want to connect enlargement with internal reforms of the European Union. Some big countries like Germany and France, which dominate so far European Union, they afraid that the decision-making mechanism could be changed if the countries like Ukraine, but maybe in the future Turkey, these are two big countries, may join European Union. So they are thinking right now how to modify the decision-making mechanism in European Union to keep the advantage of this country. Major decisions so far are taken in a unanimous way by consensus, especially decisions related to security issues, sanctions and others. But for a number of years, some big countries, they try to change the situation. They think that we're supposed to vote by qualitative majority voting. This is unacceptable situation for the countries like Poland, because I think that we're supposed to have a final decision on our security issues, and the security cannot be decided by majority in Europe. So these are, complicated issues, not only related to the quality of government and economy of Ukraine, but also related to